Our next guest on Sunday Extra did Australia proud in the grand final of the 2023 Eurovision Song Contest when he and his band Voyager placed at 9th in the grand final with Promise. Promise me it's gonna be all right. Danny Estrin is a guitar-wielding, songwriting powerhouse who's a lawyer by day and a rock star by night, so I do not know where he found the time to host the new TV documentary series Precious Metal. SBS calls it a love story like no other because it's about the special love that certain people have for their cars. And you might well ask, how did the frontman of a progressive metal band, who's also the partner of an immigration law firm, end up hosting the doco about car enthusiasts? But the answer is that Danny is one of them. Now, I have to admit, I'm not a car guy, but I am a precious metal guy because the portrait of, quote, people with passion and cars with soul is anything but pedestrian. Danny Estrin, welcome to Sunday Extra.
So good to be here. Anything but pedestrian. Vehicular, some might say.
Indeed. Now, Danny, you're one of the stars of the show, but the other star is a very unusual car that you own, which is the Zazz. Could you tell us what a Zazz is and how you ended up getting one?
Zazz, oh God, it's the tragic story of the affliction and how one comes into the possession of a number of moderately interesting vehicles which cause you nothing but grief and a lot of joy at the same time. The Zazz is short for Zaporozhets, which is actually, well, it comes from Zaporizhia. You might have heard that in the news quite a bit over the last few years.
Yeah.
It is the former Soviet Union, and they made the Zaporozhets. The Zazz 965A is the car that is the second star of the show. It's the real protagonist. And it's this quirky little Fiat 500, 600 copy that the Soviets thought they could do better, and they didn't. But I've always wanted one, and then I found one, believe it or not, in Melbourne, because these crazy people called the Soviet Garage for Comrades decided it would be a good idea to import exotic Soviet vehicles into Melbourne and sell them during COVID. And of course, they soon realized that the target audience for that was me, and I'm the one who bought it. And I think they've got some other quirky cars for sale, which I'm busily saving up to also add to my ridiculous collection.
There is a bit of a Soviet connection in your family history, isn't there, Danny?
Yes.
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your own personal story and when and how cars became part of it.
Yeah, well, cars have been a part of my DNA. I said this a lot during Eurovision. Eurovision was a part of my DNA a lot as well, but also cars. You know, I grew up in Germany. My mother is German, but my father was born in the Soviet Union. In fact, he was born in Crimea. So this, I was always drawn to the weird, dodgy, awful cars of the East. You know, you've had your Zastavas, your Wartburgs, your Fiat Polskis, all these kind of things that were just rickety and awful. But I remember how they smelled. I remember how they looked. I remember how they felt and how they sounded. And so there's this weird nostalgia, or as we say in German, Ostalgie, you know, Ost in the East. I don't know. It's always been in my lifeblood. And when I saw this one, I was like, I just have to have it. And the good thing about these things are a lot of times they're very inexpensive, but they bring so much joy into your life that the dollar to joy ratio really, really makes sense. It's man math in every sense of the word.
Now, Danny, I lost count during the series. So can you clarify for us once and for all, how many cars do you actually own?
Julian, as you will know, that the correct number of whatever you're into is N plus one. I think at the moment I am into the double digits, which is a concern. So I think there comes a point where an intervention might be necessary. But yeah, I think I'm up to like 10 or so at the moment. And you always go, oh, I've always wanted one of these. And my wife always says, how many I've always wanted one of these are on your list?
So run us through the list. What are the 10?
Oh, God. I don't know if I know. Yeah. But so the latest one is a Renault 5 from 1979, which I found on the side of the road. It was sort of rusted out and we've been restoring it. I know nothing about mechanics, by the way. I'm really bad at it. So I've got my trusty sidekick, Will, who luckily assists me. I've got a Porsche 928S from 1985. I've got my Zazz, my Zaporozhets. I've got my Eurovision Toyota MR2. I've got a Bentley Turbo R. I've got like a Mercedes family wagon. I've got an MG Midget. I don't know how many we're up to, but that's probably enough. There's this constant affliction which I share with the people on the show. What is this horrible disease that we're all a part of, this society that we just can't stop buying ridiculous cars?
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Danny Estrin, the host of the new SBS documentary, Precious Metal. And Danny, apart from the clear need to find possible new purchases. What was driving your decision to make this program?
So at a certain stage in a gentleman's life, I believe it's sort of approaching midlife crisis, you start to say, well, I'd like to reconnect with my childhood. And I used to love sitting in my bedroom for hours and playing with little cars, little toy cars. And I thought, with all those Eurovision millions that I made, and clearly there were very, very many millions. And of course, being the lead singer of a semi-successful progressive metal band from Perth, Western Australia, the money just keeps flowing in. So I thought, I've got all this cash. What am I going to do? And I don't want to get too dark here. But, you know, in 2023, I had a pretty significant cancer diagnosis. It was pretty much write a letter to your family. You don't have long. And I'm still sort of battling with that. I'm 65 rounds of chemotherapy in. And when you get a diagnosis like that, and you say, you know, you've got stage 4 cancer, you do reevaluate your life a little bit. And you kind of go, well, you know what? What brings me joy? Well, cars bring me joy. And I just happened to meet Will, the mechanic, at the same time, who encouraged me to make frivolous purchases of cars that I've always wanted to, but was too scared to buy. And one thing led to another. And I thought, you know, what I used to do as a child with little toy cars, I can now do with actual cars, because, you know, I'm a little bit wealthier than I was then when I was 11. It is warm and it is something unusual. It's not Top Gear. It's not the Grand Tour, you know, it's not V8s across the Angola desert. This is really about the connection between people and their cars.
Yeah, it's a really interesting mix of people, the cars and their life stories with those cars, but also the history of car manufacturing and all the different innovations, all of which comes together in a very accessible package. But Danny, let's talk about range, and not in terms of car specs. Could you describe for us the range of people that you profile in Precious Metal?
Well, you'd think when people think car enthusiast, they think generally middle-aged man with some money who drives a Lamborghini. And it's just that is a certain segment of the car enthusiast world. But we found it so wide-reaching. You know, there's Graham with his 1927 Chrysler Silverwings. There's Irfan with his Nissan Cube. There's Aldiana with her T3 Caravelle. There's Lara with her Mazda RX-7. There's Harry with his Land Cruiser. There's Sean with his Porsche that he brought from New Zealand. You know, there's such a breadth of characters that are all really approaching the car ownership and car love from a different angle. I thought I knew what car enthusiasm was all about, but I'm just beginning to scratch the surface of what it is. Some people love it for design. Some people love it for nostalgia. You know, my dad had one, or my mum had one, I was brought home from the hospital in one. Some people love it because they love Formula One, they love speed or whatever. And, you know, there's so many different angles. I was going to call the show, Why Don't You Just Sell It? Because the answers that people give are absolutely fascinating. And that's what I think what makes this show such a warm experience.
Did anyone say that they would sell their special car to you for a particular prize?
No, genuinely, people see it as almost like an item that they want succession planning. You know, it's almost like, I want the next owner of this car to be a person who appreciates it. And I've been in situations where I've had to be interviewed and then wait when I wanted to buy a car. It wasn't a particularly expensive one. I had an old Mercedes that I had to go and speak to Norm and Bonnie, who were in their 80s, and I had to explain to them why I wanted to purchase this vehicle. And it was $5,000 at the end, but I had to wait. Sleepless nights, you know, is Norm and Bonnie, have you purchased Mercedes vehicle? Have you driven Mercedes vehicles before, type of thing? What's your experience? What are you going to do with it? Will you keep it garage? Because a lot of these times, these cars have been in the family for 40 years. So that succession planning is such a fascinating part of car ownership.
And in that list of people that you mentioned before, most of the names were male, but it's interesting that for a stereotypically male interest, there are also quite a few female car lovers that you met and profiled. Could you tell us about some of them?
Yeah, there's Aldiana with her T3 Caravelle, which is a sort of a combi, but it's not the old school combi that is so coveted. You know, it's still an interesting one, but it's not a very special car, but it's so special to her, and her journey and what it means to her is fantastic. There's Jen with her Mini. You know, she's lovingly restored this Mini, and there's a beautiful twist in the story about what happened to the Mini and what ensued. So the number of women and the number of people across all genders, you know, the whole ethnic spectrum. It's quite incredible. It's really not just old white dudes with Ferrari.
Looking back over the cars that you're able to try out, is there one that really stood out to you as an amazing experience?
Yeah, I think the 1927 Chrysler Silverwings was incredible. Like, I didn't understand pre-war cars. You know, they, in some ways, they all look like Chitty Bang Bang to the untrained eye. But then when you drive one, and Graham, who done this amazing thing called the Red Dust Revival over here, and we've got some footage of that as well on the show, where they just get these cars from the 1910s and 20s, and they just charge them across this huge sort of salt lake, and a huge dust pan. And he said, yeah, you can drive this car. And, you know, the throttle and the brake were switched. You had to double clutch it. And there was something so visceral and so basic about that experience, but so impressive at the same time, because you could throw this thing around roundabouts without any issues. And you think, this car is almost 100 years old. I definitely learned quite a lot.
Well, it's good to see that you're in one piece as well. And Danny, just finally, obviously you mentioned the really huge health challenges that you've been dealing with. Yeah. Before we finish up, how are you going?
Look, I'm okay. As they say, describe the situation in one word, good. Describe the situation in two words, not good. Mm. I think that was an old Soviet joke as well. And, you know, that's full circle with the Zaz. But look, it's okay. The brakes are on, to use a vehicular metaphor. The brakes are on at the moment. I'm continuing treatment, and I don't know. I live my life in 3-month intervals from scan to scan to hope that the brakes are still on and it is suppressed. It's not something that is curable. It's something that will get me sooner or later. I'm hoping for later. In the interim, between sessions and between, you know, the awful trials and tribulation that is chemotherapy and having stage 4 cancer, you make the best of life and you enjoy it and you do the things that really bring you as much joy as possible. And these stories and these cars bring me immense joy. And I'm absolutely convinced that there is something biological there as well, that the biological effect of that happiness that those endorphins have on destroying those cancer cells are directly related to the V8 cars that I've been driving. You know, when you hear that rev of the engine, you think, oh, my cancer cells have got to be dying. Or they're building new ones because I'm getting fuel poisoning. I don't know, whatever.
Whatever you have fine. To tell yourself, Danny.
I'm no doctor, but...
But look, we wish you all the very best. Congratulations on Precious Metal. And it's good to see that Voyager's also touring internationally and nationally later in the year. Danny Estrin, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Danny Estrin, frontman of the progressive metal band Voyager and also frontman of the SBS documentary Precious Metal, which comes out on the 2nd of September.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.